B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
On the line right now, covers the Sixers, does a great job, as you know, covers the Sixers for the Inquirer on the Comcast Business Hotline, Mr. Keith Pompey. How are you today, Keith?
Hey, I'm doing well. What's up with you, my man?
Man, I'm doing all right. It's been a busy day, though, Keith, so let's take everything kind of in order. First things first, he said it after the playoff game, and then it seems like he kept his word, obviously. James Harden opts out of his contract. The rumors are he'll take anywhere from $10 to $12 million less than the max per year. Obviously, still a lot of money, but it helps the Sixers a great deal. What are you hearing about that since it's not official yet?
I mean, basically what you said. I mean, what he's doing is, I mean, let's keep it 100. And you know, he's basically clearing the space so they can offer his friend that mid-level exception. I mean, you know, sources been saying it was going to be a done deal. You know, it got close to the 5 o'clock deadline. You know, everybody was thinking it was going to be a trade. Can they make a trade? They couldn't really get a trade done. And, you know, James just stepped up and did what he could to make sure, you know, they can get their guy. And to me, that's what he did. He's taking care of the Sixers. They can get P.J. Tucker.
Right, and there are a lot of people who are mixed on P.J. Tucker. This is what I will say, Keith. I had a certain thought on Thibault, and then I read your story early in the week, and I talked about it on the station, and you were talking about how they may regret trading Thibault down the road. Mm-hmm. Having P.J. Tucker and Thibault, which would be the current, we don't know what's going to happen with other stuff we'll get to, that kind of appeals to me, because if Tucker wasn't to work out, you did keep your... Well, one, you kept Harden happy, and B, talked about him after the playoff game at great length, and you still keep Thibault. I understand the money, but the age, but outside of that, I don't think it's that bad of a move.
Nah, I don't. And you know, you look at it, like we said, we don't even know what's going to happen. Like, let's just say, you know, if Thibault comes and they make some other moves, you know, when you talk about him bringing that that defense, and they're able to get other pieces, and his role is to be a defender, and he can grow into becoming a 3-and-D, kind of like P.J. Tucker did when he first came in the league. He had to grow into it. You know, it's one of those things. That's a huge asset for them. You know, someone that they can, you know, depend on, be a specialist. You know, but, to me, you know, I do think they're going to trade him. I do. I think they're probably... You know, it may not be today, but I do think that they'll trade him eventually. I do think that if they do, it's going to be something that they could regret down the road. That's because I think that, you know, he's going to take a leap and he's going to surprise people.
Right, and you have a lot of faith in that. And I hadn't thought about that because the availability issue. I think that in the West, where you don't have to go to Toronto but one time, and the only time you can face them would be in the NBA Finals, is slightly different than the Sixers, who may end up having to see that team again in the playoffs. And that was pretty disruptive this past year, though, him not being available.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that has a lot to do with that. You know, a lot of people were upset because if you looked at it, and you know what, we have to, when you think of how he played before and afterwards, you have to assume it also impacted him. Like, you know, it's like, well, dang, maybe I let myself, like he let his teammates down, right? Yeah. You know, because he wasn't the same guy once he came back. So, but I can see where fans are upset because they're looking at this guy. We all have a right to do what we want to do. And I'm a guy, you know, fully back, got the boosters, the whole nine. But we all have a right to do what we want. But fans also have a right to say, look, dude, like, you're hurting the team by not doing it. So I think a lot of that, people wanting him out of there had to do with what was that, you know, more so than anything. Because, you know, before all that happened, he was playing well. Like, him and James was in rhythm. Now, again, he you know, his shot was still inconsistent, but he found a way to get to the rim and attack the rim a lot. And, you know, I felt like he was playing pretty good basketball before that whole thing went down. And if that thing didn't happen, I also feel like a lot of people were like, nah, we can't get rid of him. You know?
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. He went from a fan favorite to not being so loved after that. Before we get to the news of the day, Rumors are out there that in addition to P.J. Tucker, they're looking at other wings like Otto Porter Jr., Daniel House Jr., and others. They would have that biannual exception. Do you think they would target wings like those guys in the event that they have that available official, which should be fairly soon?
Yeah, I mean, those are the type of guys. Like, Otto Porter was a guy who last year they felt like they had a really good chance at him, but they just didn't have a roster spot as it came out towards the end. Like, I believe it was draft night last year. They just didn't have a roster, like, you know, one of those draft day trades or right after the draft. They just didn't have a trade. I mean, they didn't have a roster spot for him. You know, those are the type of guys that they that would be great for him. But, like, the one thing we keep talking about, well, the one thing we keep talking about is, like, they would really also like to make a major trade for I'm not going to say major because, you know, these are quality guys, but it's not like Kevin Durant or anything. But a guy like Eric Gordon could help them out as well, too. You know, he's a guy, a nice guy. I mean, you know, what I mean nice is he's very well-liked around the league, very well-liked by teammates and everything. But he also knows how to play off of James, and he can give you something. But yeah, those type of guys are really good. The question that I have about Otto Porter is, you know, he went to Golden State. Yes, he did take less money, but at the same time, he won a championship. And, you know, I wonder if you know, depending on what they have, if he says, you know what, it was so lovely out here, I might as well stay here again and try to get another one.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of thought. Bring it up to the latest thing. Kevin Durant now officially asked for a trade. It appears that Phoenix is the favorite, but there are some reports floating out there that the Sixers are doing everything they can to try to get him. That kind of just seems like an obvious situation where you kind of have to. Number one, let's just get to, if you were making an offer, because you kind of have to make an offer if this guy becomes available, would you be willing to include Maxey in a deal to get Kevin Durant?
You would have to. You're not going to get Kevin Durant if you don't include Maxey, and you still may not get Kevin Durant with Maxey. You know, and that's one of those things, like where those reports come out, like when a guy like Kevin Durant, it says, trade me. LeBron James said, trade me. The one executive who basically says, I'm not going to go all in, or I'm not going to see if I can go all in for this guy, is the executive that won't be at that team next year. Because the owner's like, what you mean you can't go out? You're not trying to go out and make our team better with a guy like that. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at the 76ers roster, right, it's kind of sort of like, you know, you want to keep Maxey, but you know, in order to get a guy of that magnitude, you know, you gotta include him. You have to include him, and that still may not even be enough.
No, obviously, you would need KD to kind of get on board and see if, you kind of got to get on board. You got to, KD has to say, I want to go there, and then you got to probably put it to make the money work. Tobias Harris would have to be included, but you couldn't.
Exactly.
And then you'd have to go Maxey and then whatever else they kind of wanted and pick swaps and everything else. But it is interesting to me, Keith, that Kyrie opts in and some people think, oh, all is well. And then apparently KD had no contact with the organization and goes right to the owner and says, I want out. It is amazing how toxic that Brooklyn situation got. And it looks like Harden got out ahead of time of something that wasn't going to last long either way.
Isn't that funny, though? Because, like, when Harden, like, was basically saying, I'm cool, but behind closed doors, like, get me out of here, everyone was hating on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then see how it, like, ends, you know? And then you see, you know, the whole Kyrie situation where, nah, these are six teams I want to go to, trade me. let's do a sign and trade. And then at the 11th hour, like, he's never, like, said those things to people. It was, oh, I'm happy to stay in Brooklyn. And then KD, who's fighting for him the whole time, is now like, yo, I'm out. Trade me, right?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, it just seems like a circus, man. It really does. Because, like, 2 years ago, that was supposed to be the squad. I mean, we think of the Miami Heat when they had LeBron, right? Wade and Bosh. But the Brooklyn Nets were supposed to be on that type of level, right? And now you look at it, and it just imploded after two seasons. It's crazy.
16 total games with their big three, to your point. 16 total games. And now there's a realistic chance that Ben Simmons is going to be up there all alone this season because they say they're going to keep him. I guess he'll be happy, but I know a lot of fans thought he would be the dirty work guy around these other guys. Now he's going to have to be the main guy, at least in the short term, because they don't have anybody else.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's kind of like, you know, you look at son-in-law. You got Ben as the main guy
Seth Curry. Seth, yeah.
Like, yo, they want me to be in here as, like, you know, insurance for Joe Harris. And then he played well. And now he's like, yo, I'm going to be the second leading scorer on this squad. I'm going to be the main. So it's tough, man. Brooklyn's in a bad spot right about now.
They absolutely are, Keith. Well, free agency's coming up. I guess the P.J. Tucker deal will still happen regardless first, and then we'll just have to wait and see if the sell job that many teams are going to do, but if maybe the sell job from Philadelphia can actually get KD here, and then, boy, will the Sixers be must-see TV if that was to happen.
Yeah, I think KD's going to Phoenix, so. Like, I mean, I was talking to somebody after this thing just happened, and I was like, you know, do you think the Sixers could, you know, offer enough? I mean, it seems like they don't have enough. And he was like, you know, a lot of people think it's going to be Phoenix. You know,
I said, all right, I'm still excited, but it's still, for me, better to have him in the West than to have him with Miami or with the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it would have been great to have him, like, you know, here's the thing, like, the one thing is if he did come to Philly, if they had some room for him, like, all I think of is his competitive relationship with Embiid, how they're always going at each other. And you would see these two guys playing off of each other. You would see how, at practice, how he would push Embiid. And you understand? I feel like that would be great. I honestly do. I just feel like, you know, the Sixers just don't have those assets. But like you said, it's great to have them, you know, out West. But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to miss going to Brooklyn to see him play because I just used to love seeing how see him play four times a year just because of that competitiveness that he had and how him and Embiid would go at it. And everybody thought they were about to fight. But, you know, after the game, they laughed and joked. They hugged. They were with each other. They, you know, Embiid was always his first-round pick in the All-Star game. But to me, I'm going to miss that. I'm just going to miss that.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Keith. Obviously, we'll see what happens in the next few days, and I'm still going to hope. Until he's with Phoenix, I'm going to hold out hope until that moment comes. So, but appreciate it so much, man.
All right, brother. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks so much. That was Keith Pompey, covers the Sixers for the Inquirer on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.